This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fly ball to center field. Over in right center is Weimer. Approaching the track, makes the catch. Brewers take the series. Final score, Milwaukee 6, Pittsburgh 3.
Yep, that's how the series went. For two games, at least. Pirates lost to the Brewers yesterday, lost two of three over the weekend. A miraculous comeback, though, on Friday, and a call that you may hear for years to come. Oye, como va? And Carlos Santana at the walk-off home run, Greg Brown with a great call. And that was exciting, too. The Pirates came back, and they almost came back, too, on Saturday. Final score of Saturday's game was 11-8. And then yesterday, they were just outmatched for the most part to the Brewers. They're kind of staying in it, but couldn't quite get back in the game. On Saturday, they were down 11-2. And they made it 11-8. That was the final. But they were coming back. They had a chance late in the game to come back. Well, the Pirates got down early in all three games of the series to the Brewers, and that just, it can't happen. You can't lose. You can't get down early, and you might think, you know, if you, your initial reaction might be, yeah, the Pirates made it close. This is exciting. They almost won that game on Saturday against the Brewers. But then you think, why did they have to go down 11-2 in the first place? Why did they have to fall so far behind to have to claw back? Comeback wins are exciting. Friday's game was exciting. Friday's game produced one of the best calls in recent history by Greg Brown. One that will stick around for a little bit. Reminded me of Fita Bella when Francisco Cervelli was here. And that 2015 season where they won 98 games. Great call. Carlos Santana, oye, como va? They had to come back in that game, though. They were down by a lot, and that's what made that game so exciting. And then you thought maybe on Saturday you were going to get an encore. But at the end of the day, they shouldn't have to come back from 8-9 runs to win baseball games. So that's my take on the weekend. There's so many sports to get into as well. We're going to talk about a whole slew of things this morning. Mitch Keller's an all-star for the Pirates. Should David Bednar have made it? Should anybody else have made it? Mitch Keller's certainly deserving, but are the Pirates getting cheated out of all-star picks? We'll talk about that. How about Ben Cherington weighed in on how he perceives his draft options? Maybe there's more than one. Or two draft options that the Pirates have. Ooh, we'll get into that. Kyle Dubas publicly addressed the re-signing of Tristan Jarry, which went official when NHL free agency was activated on Saturday at noon. Tristan Jarry has a new deal with the Penguins. We can talk about that. But yeah, just to talk about this Pirates team, the pitching's got to do well enough to not go down so soon. The team's just got to find a way to not give up that many runs or not give up runs. I think in all three games they gave up runs in the first inning. Let me double-check that first game again. No, they didn't in the first inning. They did in the third inning, though, to the Brewers. And then I think the next two games, Saturday and Sunday, both had first-inning runs. Yeah, the Brewers scored a run in the first inning on Saturday, and they scored... Oh, no, I was wrong. Okay, so the first two games of the series, the Brewers scored first, not necessarily in the first inning, then... Yeah, then yesterday the Pirates were actually leading, and then, oh, that's right, Nick Gonzalez hit the home run, but then the Brewers responded with three in the top of the third, and the Brewers led ever since that third inning. Okay, so yesterday was a little bit different. The first two games, though, the Brewers scored first, so not as bad as I thought initially, because I remember that game on Saturday, the Brewers got out early and then scored five in the second inning, which there's got to be damage control at some point in those scenarios where you don't give up that many runs in one inning. Again, it happens. But I can't stress enough. I mean, I say this all the time. The Pirates have just struggled for what seems like years now. Doesn't matter what year it was in. I mean, the 2013 to 15 stretch, it was a theme. 2018, when they were a decent team, when they won 84 games that year. They won 82, excuse me. They won 82 and 79. Yeah, 2018, though, same theme. They lose to division opponents. They lose series to division opponents way too much. The Cardinals have been maybe an exception. And I remember there was the storyline for the Pirates that the Pirates and Cardinals are going to be the next great rivalry in sports. And then both teams didn't make the playoffs the following year in 2016. And the Chicago Cubs let us all know that they were not to be forgotten about because they won the World Series. So, but the theme, nonetheless, other than the Cardinals, the Pirates have struggled against division opponents. They've struggled against the Reds and the Brewers and the Cubs. And the Brewers hosted the Pirates, and the Brewers swept the Pirates in Milwaukee, and then the Brewers come to Pittsburgh. They had a clear chance to win the game on Friday. Glad the Pirates won that one, collected that win, but then the next two, they lost, and they lost the series. And that's going to hurt the Pirates moving forward. This series, at least a series win, was a golden opportunity for the Pirates to stick around in the National League Central and to gain some ground, and they didn't. And losing those games pushes them further back. The Reds and Brewers are still tied at the top of the division right now. They're each 45 and 39. And the Pirates, 39 and 44, they're 5.5 games back of the division lead. The Cubs are right on their tail, too. The Cubs are 6 games out of the division lead. Cubs have been kind of struggling. The Cardinals still kind of buried, 9.5 games out. That's less than the other two last-place teams in the National League. The Rockies are 17.5 games back of the NL West lead, and the Nationals 22 games out. But, I mean, I think my point's emphasized, and I'll say it as long as they keep losing division games. Those division games are so important. And I know May was bad, and we all talk about May being terrible because they got swept to start the month and they didn't win a series until the end of the month. I contest that June was a worse month for this team because they got swept in 3 consecutive 3-game series to division opponents. And that's not that's even worse, because those games directly impact how the standings move. Teams don't stay put if they're playing each other in division. So that hurt the Pirates more. And I think losing 10 in a row and then on a 15-game stretch, losing 13 of those games, that's worse. I get that they swept a couple series in the month. They won some other series. Beating the Padres is fun because they spend a lot of money. Beating the Mets was fun because they spent a lot of money. But at the end of the day, losing to those division opponents is rough, and losing 13 games in a 15-game stretch is very bad. It's going to hurt your team. I can't believe they're still 5.5 games out with how May and June have gone. And I almost hate to think that we might have jinxed the team, because we all talked about in April they would have to have a catastrophic fall to not be in playoff contention. And May, we thought, was catastrophic. Then June came around, in June, even more catastrophic. So that's where the Pirates are right now. And I have my concerns. We'll continue to talk about that. You're listening to The Fan Early Morning Show. It's The Wake Up Show. The Wake Up Show is presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. You can apply online at 84lumber.com. So, Ben Cherington talked yesterday. Again, we got a lot of stuff to get into, and in a short amount of time, I'm just going to kind of lay the foundation of what happened over the weekend, because there's so much news. Tristan Jarry got re-signed by the Penguins to a five-year contract. Ben Cherington talked about the draft choices that the Pirates have, and you know the draft is next week, so ooh, that's exciting, right? So lots to get into. Mitch Keller is an all-star, but he's the only all-star right now selected from the Pirates. We'll talk about all that. If you have an opinion on anything and you'd like to call in, you can do that at any time in the next half hour. 412-928-9370 is the phone number you can reach me at. 412-928-9370. Let's talk about Ben Cherington. Made some comments this weekend to he had a media session where reporters got to ask him questions in a more closed setting. Then he also had his show yesterday. So let's start with these comments. Ben Cherington was asked by reporters about Skeens or Cruz, which one seems more appealing or which one might he consider more than the other. Here was Cherington's response.
I think it gets narrower all the time. We'd rather not define exactly how narrow it is right now, but it gets narrow. You know, every hour you spend on it, it gets a little bit narrower. But I don't think I fully expect that we go into Sunday, a week from tomorrow, still with, you know, multiple considerations.
Like, how realistic is it to think that a player that you take next week could be up here this season and help this team?
Well, first of all, I just want, you know, to be clear, I wouldn't stop at two players. We have more than that under consideration, but you know, that would be pretty aggressive even for a advanced college player to consider. You know, I guess it has happened, but pretty aggressive.
Okay, so there were rumors circulating too, and a lot of fans had the question that maybe the Pirates would, or Cherington would consider calling up Skeens, right? Because he already has so much experience, and he throws hard, and he lasts a lot of innings. Why not just race him through the minor leagues and, you know, get him here to join the major league club? Cherington doesn't like that idea, but apparently it's not just two. That was the word. Not just two decisions, or not just two options for the Pirates. There's more than two players that they're considering, and the window is just going to get narrower and narrower and narrower until whenever. He did specify, because Greg Brown then asked him on the Ben Cherington show yesterday on the Pirates Radio Network, right here on 93.7 The Fan. Ben Cherington was asked by Greg Brown, well, when do you think you're going to make the decision? When do you think you're going to know which player you're going to draft? And here was his response.
Late Sunday. What is it, July 9th? Yeah.
Sunday?
That's when we'll know, yeah. Because why not, right? Like, you know.
There's no hurry. You don't have to know now.
Why not use every minute you have? Decisions are hard, and if you have, I've always felt like whatever time you have to make a decision, you better use it. Obviously, sometimes you got to be prepared to make a decision faster if you're forced to. But in this case, we know exactly when the draft is going to start. It's not going to change. We know when it's going to start. We know when we're making that selection. I don't see any reason why not to use all the time we have.
Use all the time we have. So they're not really going to know until Sunday, next week. They're waiting that long. Okay. I heard some rumors that maybe Ben Cherington is giving Scott Boras his own treatment. Like, sure, yeah, okay. We won't draft him. But then where does his value go not being a number one overall in a draft? Right? I think the number one overall pick among the top prospects gets the most money. So we'll play this game too. You don't want to be the first overall pick. That's great. Good for your client. We'll go with somebody else because we got options. I think that's what that is. Maybe he's being genuine. If you buy that, if you don't buy it, let me know. You can call And we do have a caller on the line right now at 412-928-9370. Ted from Mount Washington. Go ahead, Ted. What's on your mind?
Well, real quick about the Pirates. They're going to draft a pitcher. I mean, it's obvious they're going to do it. It's not even close. They're just blowing smoke. It's a logical choice. Drew may be good, but right now the organization needs the pitcher. And you know who they're going to draft.
You think Skeens?
It's not even close. We'll find out. They got to be out of their mind not to draft him. There's no one else.
I hear you.
It's not even close.
Thanks for the call, Ted. I appreciate it. Yeah. Okay. That's fair. See, I was tantalized a little bit. I've been going back and forth on Skeens and Cruz. And I think even a Twitter follower of the fan was asking all the hosts and producers. I said, pencil me in for Skeens. Then I heard, ooh, Dylan Cruz is the next Bryce Harper. And I was like, ooh, I like the name Bryce Harper. MVP, no World Series rings. But, you know, other than that, I mean, he plays well individually, right? Ooh, exciting. Dylan Cruz would be an exciting player. Then I rethought, and I'm like, well, hold on now. Skeens is a pitcher, and he throws many pitches in games at close to triple digits in velocity. So back to pitcher. And then I was a little more sold on Skeens for a second because Scott Boras said that Dylan Cruz doesn't want to sign with the Pirates. And then I was like, wait, no, we don't want Scott Boras to win. Sign Dylan Cruz. And then after a few days, I said, no, that's silly. The Pirates need pitching. And then I went back to Skeens. So I've been going back and forth for a while in my own head. But Ted from Mount Washington, not an incorrect point at all. No, Skeens, I think, would be beneficial to the team. And I'm still on the pitcher train. But I don't know. I like Charrington. There's something about Charrington where he has very smooth answers, and he's very hidden, and he doesn't care what people think, it seems. And it's not necessarily an arrogance, just the way he speaks. I don't know why exactly I like how he speaks, but it's the way he presents his ideas and presents his plan in a way without presenting it, you know, and he plays a game of chess kind of with, you know, the agents, specifically Boras in this case. Just talking about how many options that the Pirates have, and you should consider thoroughly who you're going to pick. I think that, I mean, it's going to get, if Cruz or Skeens is not drafted by the Pirates, I think that this city is going to light up the Pirates a little bit, and especially if that pick doesn't pan out or gets traded later on. Like, you want this draft pick at one overall to be a cornerstone of the franchise. Like, you want Henry Davis to be a cornerstone of the franchise. The fact that Nick Gonzalez has come up and is doing well early in his tenure in Major League Baseball is a good sign. Terramar Johnson's an exciting prospect. He was drafted first in the first round by the Pirates last season, 2022. So, yeah, I think that you don't want to draft this 1-1 overall guy and not have him be your franchise piece or even do well. Excuse me, not do well. You know what I mean. You want to keep him on the team and you want him to do well. You don't want to have to trade anybody for some other assets later on, or you don't want that prospect to not pan out. Like, this prospect needs to pan out, and especially I'm saying that the city of Pittsburgh would be in an uproar and would really blast the Pirates if this draft pick didn't work out. And it wasn't Dylan Cruz or Paul Skeens. At least if you draft those guys, everybody kind of has it in their mind, like, hey, you know, at least they went with the guys that were the top guys at the time. But, you know, you take a chance on somebody and it doesn't work out, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, now we're set back because nobody drafted ahead of us. We got the first selection with no room for adjustment because we have the first overall pick. And then that happened. So, you know, the pick wasn't one of the top guys, the best pitcher and the best offensive player and outfielder in the draft. And then that pick doesn't work out. I think that's the big concern that we all have right now when considering who the Pirates should pick. But we'll see. And I also kind of his comments, speaking of, well, I'm thinking about where they're drafting. I know he's saying they need time to think, and there would be more thinking and consideration done, I believe, if you're picking down the list. But the Pirates aren't picking down the list, so I don't know if I necessarily buy what Charrington's saying either, because there's nobody picking ahead of them, so the consideration here is just, you know, them assessing talent individually, but you'd have to be blind not to see that Cruz and Skeens, respectively, are the best at their positions going into this draft. And I don't know what consideration further you need, because again, nobody's picking before you. You've got the first pick. There is no room for adjustment. You can choose whoever you want as the first overall pick. So that's my response to Charrington. We got to take a break. We'll take one more caller, though, real quick at 412-928-9370. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Hello, you're on the radio. And they hung up. Oh, that's terrible. Well, call back if you want to, but we're going to take a quick break. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. When we come back, Tristan Jarry re-signed with the Penguins on a 5-year contract worth almost $27 million. We'll get into that next. It's the Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis, and this is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Fan Early Morning Show. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's Nicholas Harry Callis. Taking you up to the Fan Morning Show pre-show, and Joe Starkey is in the building. He'll have the Fan Morning Show this morning from 5:40 to 10. Give you fan weather right now, too. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer is here. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, and the all-new redesigned 2024 Trax. And you can check them out online at sunchevy.com today. Expect rain throughout the area throughout most of the day. High is going to be 79, the low 66. Then tomorrow, expect a 50% chance of thunderstorms. High of 84, low of 67. I know forecasts earlier than today had suggested it might be sunny, but stormed yesterday unexpectedly, and now it's supposed to rain throughout this week. So not fun for your 4th of July, end of the weekend, I should say. Yeah, we move forward. All right, real quick, Kyle Dubas spoke to the media the other day after the signing of Tristan Jarry, among other things. I mean, he didn't just speak about Tristan Jarry. He spoke about the first day of NHL free agency and made a few moves. But the big news was that Tristan Jarry was re-signed to a 5-year, nearly $27 million contract. And here are his comments on Tristan Jarry.
Two-time All-Star, At the same time, he's dealt with significant injuries the past 2 years, hasn't experienced much playoff success. Mm-hmm. What gave you comfort to extend such a substantial contract into him?
Yep, I think for me, it's looking at the whole sample. So when you go back a number of years, I think Tristan's played the sixth most games in the league and won the fifth most, I think, in the last three seasons. I think the injury stuff, I don't want to make it more pronounced than it was, because even with the injuries, he still played 49 games this year, which is a credit to Tristan. But it started with the freak thing going into the playoffs 2 years ago with Anders Lee kind of falling on him, and I think it just, you know, was one thing kind of rolls into the other with it. But he still played through it and was able to still play well. I mean, I think he would be the first to tell you he wants to continue to be better, and I think his sample shows that he's capable of being better in two of the previous three seasons to that being an all-star. So I just think that, the larger sample, made me comfortable, but I think more importantly than that, Seth, just the view of the people in the facility and in the room, and then with myself getting to know Tristan. And so that was what made me comfortable to go down that path with him. And I think it's been made very clear to him what my expectations are in terms of him continuing to be in great shape, put himself in a position to be as healthy as possible, and continue to play the number of games that he has. And with what I learned from he and meeting with his wife Hannah in Edmonton, I was very comfortable with that.
All right, so that's Dubas on Jari. Couple things. First of all, he called the reporter by name again. Love that. You know, that's, I don't know how fast that's going to become old, but I still like it. Addresses the media with personality and borderline closeness there. But at any rate, Tristan Jari has the potential to do well. He's shown he has the potential to do well. Sure, I get that. But also the results have not been there with Tristan Jari in full. The injury history, not great. The fact that he hasn't been available to contribute to a winning playoff series, not great. Kyle Dubas doesn't have a great track record with goalies. We saw that in his time in Toronto, a decent time in Toronto, but he also struggled putting together effective goalies or signing effective goalies, acquiring effective goalies. So anyway, I think that a prove-it deal would have been more fair for Jari in that case. Give him 1-2 years at max. Let him prove that his potential could be met and then renegotiate after the contract. But 5 years... 5 years is a little much for me at $27 million. I mean, just over $5 million per year hitting the cap isn't terrible, but it's still like you've committed to him for 5 years. The only explanation that I have for that is maybe Jari will play more comfortably knowing now that he has some job security. But I don't buy that very much as well. This isn't a business of, you know, trying to make people comfortable. It's, you know, you prove it, and then you get the money. And I don't think Jari has really proved it yet. So I'm not a fan of this deal that he signed to. 5 years, nearly $27 million to Tristan Jari, back with the Penguins. He was signed on Saturday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.